Hello and welcome to the DeMartini Show. This is the podcast for people who love personal development and who feel that constant progress is one of the most important measures of their life. If you love to learn about universal laws, human behavior, and empowerment so that you can empower your life, and if doing something that makes a difference in the world is the core of what drives you, then you've tuned into the perfect podcast with Dr. John DeMartini. He is a human behavior expert with over 48 years of research into human behavior and performance. And what you'll learn in all of these episodes will give you an incredible advantage in all the areas of your life. This week, we take a look at business tips for small business owners. Dr. DeMartini shares 10 powerful business tips that will help you to clarify what you're committed to, how to find out if there is a demand for your product or service, and why reading client testimonials can completely transform your campaigns. Before we get started, if this is your first time listening to the show, then click the subscribe button now, because that way you'll be notified each time we upload a new episode. And if you love what you learn in this presentation, then we invite you to please rate this podcast and leave us a review. And lastly, if there's anyone that you know that would absolutely love to have the opportunity to learn this content, then share this podcast with them too. So get your pen and paper or your digital note taker ready, and let's get started with this week's episode, Business Tips for Small Business Owners. Enjoy.
In all probability, you're in a moderate to small business, could be large, but probably small business. And as an entrepreneur, most of the people that are paying attention on these videos are probably entrepreneurs. I'd like to give you some ideas that will be helpful in doing that. So if you have something to write with and something to write on, that might be your advantage, or get ready to type. The first thing I'd like to share about this is that every business is really an extension of a transaction. A transaction is something that inspires and fulfills what you value in exchange for something that fulfills and inspires somebody else to fulfill their value. Now, that could be a product, a service, or idea. But behind the scenes, everything is value driven. Now, I rarely do a presentation without discussing values, and this is no exception. Because ultimately, if you're not doing something that is inspiring to you, that is actually deeply meaningful, something you can't wait to get up in the morning and do, you're going to not have the vitality, the enthusiasm, the inspiration, and the feedback, you might say, intensity that it's going to take to be as an entrepreneur. At the same time, if you're not filling the needs, the higher values of the individuals that you're going to be selling to, the customer, the client, the student, in my case, if I don't meet their needs and I don't fulfill their highest values, what's important to them, there's no business. And if I project my values onto them and don't meet their needs narcissistically, eventually the feedback lets you know that that's not working. And if I altruistically sacrifice my needs to try to fill them, the profit margins are down. So in order to make a fair exchange that's sustainable, you have to have equity. And if you want to go and look up equity theory, that's maybe worth reading. It talks about how that's inherent inside each of us to sustain fair exchange. And when each individual is living by their highest value and getting their highest values met, they have the most objective fair exchange, which is why it's sustainable. But as a business, the first thing to know is that everything you do, whether you're working with a customer, or you're working with an employee, or working with people at home, regardless, every transaction is striving to have fair exchange. Now, with that said, let's start from the top down in the business structure. It's very clear in businesses to know exactly what your committed service is. So if you've never really written out a mission statement, not that you have to have a mission statement, not that everybody does, but the reality is that having a clear articulated objective that you're committed to as an individual about what you're, and clearly defining in maybe 20 words or less, what exactly are you committed to in this business? So you can be clear about what the primary objective is of this business and what the primary mission is, so you can make decisions out of it. It's hard to make decisions if you don't know where you're going, but if you know clearly what you're committed to. I'm in an educational business and a self-mastery educational business. if you know exactly what you're committed to, it's easier to make decisions, as I said. So let's get really clear on that. So write that down. Make sure you get clear in a very short span of words exactly what it is that you're committed to. In other words, what exactly is that primary mission that you're committed to? What exactly is it? If somebody was to get you in an elevator and ask you, what do you do? What exactly is that? What are you committed to? So they would know, you know, this is like your elevator speech or your pitch. What exactly is it that you do that people know, oh, I need that? Define that in 20 words or so. You might start off with a longer one and narrow it down to try to get it down to about 20, 25 words of what exactly you're committed to. Now, if you're not meeting people's needs and you're not actually providing something anybody wants, there's no demand. So that may be what you're inspired to do, but you have to make sure it matches something that the world is looking for. So you might want to go on and look on search engines and look at what exactly people are seeking and searching for. And by knowing what it is and knowing what you want to do and finding where they overlap, that's an important component. As a result of that, you've got a demand. If you don't have something people are looking for, there's no demand. And if you have something that 1,000 people are providing solutions to and you can't make a distinction between what you do and what they do, why would they come to you? They're always going to go to the lowest dollar if they can't make a distinction between what you're providing and what other people are providing. So first define what it is you want, you're committed to. The thing that you spontaneously do that nobody has to remind you to do that you love doing, so you can get up and be inspired to do it. I love teaching. I can't wait to get up and teach in the mornings. So there's no doubt in my mind that I'm doing it. I got 48-year track record on it. What is it that you are spontaneously inspired and committed to do? And then what is it that there's a market for, that there's a demand for, that you find on search engines looking for it? And then what is the overlap? Find the vesica piscis, the overlapping circles of what people are wanting and what you're wanting, and make sure that you can actually deliver something that's unique and novel and you can make a distinction of between what you have and what other people have. Or otherwise, everybody's going to go to the lowest dollar. Know that when you run a business, the hierarchy of your values as a leader will influence all the way down the line anybody that you ever hire. They may start a business doing a little of everything, but if you end up trying to do everything, you'll dilute yourself, burn yourself out trying to do stuff that's uninspiring to you, and lower the vitality and devalue yourself. And that's not a way to start the business. You know, the way to start the business is to make sure you make a list of every objective and every job responsibility that's going to be needed, every function that's going to be needed for that job, and look at what you're going to do and prioritize that according to what needs to be done by your specialty and what you might be able to hire somebody to do, outsource or insource. Because the second, when I first opened up my practice, I was doing a little of everything and I had to learn through trial and error on that. I didn't have to, I chose to, obviously. And then I went and got a book in the bookstore and I got a book called The Time Trap. And literally in 18 months, my business transformed. I learned to prioritize what I did. I made a list of everything that needs to be done, everything that I was doing. I looked at what it actually produced per hour. I looked at how much meaning it each had. I looked at how much would it cost to hire somebody to delegate it, to give it to somebody else. I looked at how much time I spent on it. Then I prioritized all that. And I basically learned to delegate some things and get on to doing the absolute highest priority, most important thing that served the greatest number of people I could do, that really produced the most income, so I could get on to doing what was most important that made me feel more self-worth and delegate gradually, layer by layer, lower priority things and work my way up and eventually duplicate things going up the scale until eventually I can duplicate myself. But in the process of doing that, I learned to prioritize what I was doing and to make sure I was doing the things that was matching what my needs were. But at the same time, the way I know it was matching the customer's needs is I was getting the most income from it. Money is a measurement of the services rendered, in a sense, and is letting you know you're meeting somebody's needs, otherwise they're not gonna pay. So what produces the most per hour and what is the most meaning? That's what you're looking for. What's most productive per hour is what's meeting people's needs, and what's most meaningful is meeting your needs. If you find the thing that's most meaningful and you find the thing that produces the most and you stick to those priorities and then you find people to do the other things that need to be done, it's not that they're not important, it's just that they're not important for you. You know, I think when I was 38 going on 39 years ago is the last time I ever wrote a check. I could hire somebody in those days for $20 an hour to take care of all my financial matters, $25 to $30 an hour. They were doing everything on the finances. So I got to focus on clients. And I could have, before I did that, I was paying bills and writing checks and doing bank statements and all kinds of stuff. And I thought, well, that's a $25 an hour job. I could be making thousands over here. Why not be doing the thing that produces the most? So I basically learned to prioritize what I was doing, delegate things, and do it in layers. I took the lowest, most easily delegated thing and worked my way up until I duplicated myself. But finding out what is really serving people's needs and sticking to the highest priority thing, finding that one thing that you do that gives you the greatest results, and then hiring people to do the things that are lower on the values to free you up. It doesn't cost to delegate if you're doing the things that produce more than the cost. And it doesn't cost to delegate if you make sure you're getting somebody that you're going to delegate to that is inspired to do that job and do a greater job than you would do it. If that's high on their values and they are more inspired to do it than you are, then that's going to free you up and it's going to allow them to be self-reliant to get the thing done. You don't have to micromanage them. So that leads you to understanding how to relate to teams and building teams of people that are going to help you get things done. And that's basically back to values. People don't go to work for the sake of a company. They go to work to fulfill what they value most. If they feel that their job duties are helping them fulfill what they value, they are engaged and inspired, productive and innovative and creative and love going to work and have gratitude for their job, love what they do. They're inspired by the vision and they're enthusiastically working. As Peter Lynch says, those are the keys to an appreciating company to buy stock in when he was buying stock in the 90s. So that's the key, is making sure you surround yourself with people that really want to go and do what you want to delegate and free yourself up. It won't cost to do that. It'll pay because they'll end up doing it. And you've got now free time to go and do the most important things that produce the most per hour. But if you're not doing that, then you're going to be trapped because you're not doing your responsibility. Your responsibility is to do the highest priority thing with your skill set and what inspires you that serves the greatest number of people you can do. My case, it's teaching. Getting on and online right now and doing presentations is what I do best, and researching to make sure I have quality information to present. That's my role. If I do those every single day and I focus on that, the rest of it is delegated. It gets taken care of. So that frees you up and elevates and scales up your business, because you can't scale up the business unless you have an increased demand and you're doing highest priority things and you're delegating lower priority things. You know, unless you're actually getting paid to do something you really love to do, you got a break on your life. Many people have a Monday morning blue, a Wednesday hump days, a thank God it's Fridays and a week freaking end, because they're not doing something that's deeply meaningful. It may make good money and they may have security, but it's not going to be thriving because it's not inspiring to them. And if it is inspiring to them and they have enthusiasm for it, they're on fire and people come around to watch them burn, as they say. And if they can delegate, you free up the energy. Anytime you're doing high priority things, your energy goes up and your self-worth goes up. And so does your net worth go up. And anytime you're doing something that's low in your values, the opposite occurs. You're going down, you're draining yourself. We've all been in a day where we kept to high priorities and really felt inspired by it. At the end of the day, we're more resilient and adaptable and we can handle anything. But if we're doing things and putting fires out all day and doing low priority stuff and not delegating, we're trapped and it's uninspiring and we've drained and we go, whoa, what a day. And then we take that out on all the people we care about. So you want to surround yourself with that and build a team. But when you're building a team, just know that your values are going to be different than the people that work for you. You know, I've heard for years that, you know, company has values. I've never seen that to be true. People have values and the company's made of people. And if you put new people in there, you got a new set of values going in there, and you can set up an idealism and type it all up and make it where this is our values. But if people aren't engaged in that, don't relate to that and don't see how that is related to their life, it's just a bunch of paperwork. You have to realize that what your values are, it's going to filter down through the company. And if you can't communicate what you value in terms of what other people value, they're not engaged. So you may want to take the time, if you've got people around you that you hire, is to find out what their highest values are. Go on my value determination process on my website, drdmartini.com, and have anybody you ever hire go through that value determination process, go through it with them, make sure it's done thoroughly, take a look at that, and realize that's the only thing you can expect them to do. Anytime you expect somebody to live outside what their real values are, anytime you delegate things to somebody that's not in line with what they value, anytime you give job descriptions that's not matching what they value, you're going to end up micromanaging and pushing people uphill. You're not going to have people that are going to be self-sufficient, self-reliant individuals driven. So you want to make sure that you find out what their values are and communicate in those values and delegate and disseminate or allocate job duties to that. Or otherwise, you're going to be distracted micromanaging and pushing people and motivating people. Motivation is a symptom of a company, not a solution for the company. Having people that are inspired to get the job done, then they're doing it because that's what they love doing. That's liberating. You know, it's amazing when you get somebody, we've all been into a department store, we've been into some restaurant or whatever, where somebody's really loving what they do. It makes a difference. I remember when I used to live in New York, I'd get in a cab sometimes to go in different parts of New York. And you get in a cab and some of them didn't care about their customer and some really love what they do. And you ask them, so how long have you been doing this? Oh, I've been doing this. My father did this. My grandfather did this. It's a third generation cab service and it's spotless. It's clean. They know it. They know every city, every part of the city, every street. They know how to get you there. They give you the card. They're engaged and you want to actually take their card and call them back again. But if they're not, and it's filthy and it's not engaging and they're not doing it, and they go, yeah, I got a job, man. I got to pay the bills. It's uninspiring. And unenthused, uninspired, ungrateful, and unloving people in a company cost companies. That's the most significant thing. So engagement is very important. So when you're hiring people and you want to get people to scale up your business that way and let go of lower priority things so you can get on with the most important thing, you engaging and inspiring customers is probably your most significant thing. If you're a coach, you may want to be coaching people. If you're a speaker, you may be speaking. If you're selling a product, you maybe want to innovate and build on your products. But you need to make sure that it's articulated in people's values. The customer has to meet their needs and the employee has to meet their needs. You have the responsibility of meeting customers' needs, employees' needs, and your own. And then you also have corporate needs and you have social, industry needs and you have ecological needs. All those needs have to be factored in. And the more people you're able to serve, the higher the probability the business is going to thrive. It's all about meeting people's needs. Albert Einstein said that a life is not worth living unless you have somebody you can be of service to. And I think there's some wisdom in it. I think our brain is set up automatically with our motor cortex to be able to be of service and our sensory cortex to get rewards and to find a fair exchange and have those balanced. Those are sustainable that way. Now, when you're marketing or advertising or selling, it's all value driven. All of the content has to be thought through and think about what exactly is the highest priorities of these individuals. What are their real needs? Not make assumptions, but find out what their needs. That may be engaging and asking questions and doing surveys to find out what the needs are. Maybe going online and looking at what the demands are, what people are actually, flocking to on the online. It has to be needs. And you want to make sure that the product that you're offering is matching those needs. You can't just be worded in such, it has to actually deliver that or otherwise they're going to go somewhere else. If I put on a program and there's nobody there, then there's no business. I have to meet some sort of need. And every human being is making a decision based on what they believe will give them the greatest advantage over disadvantage. So whatever product, service, or idea that you're delivering out there, it has to provide more value than any competitor. And what's interesting is if you can't make a distinction of why they would come to you and make the distinctions, then you're probably going to, again, go to the lowest dollar and be dollar lowering instead of actually raising your dollars.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at The Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life-transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now, let's continue with this episode.
There's a great little question that you may want to ask yourself. You may want to write this down. Whatever product, service, or idea that you have, that is the one that is seems to be the key one that's most of your business, the 20% that gives you 80% results, you want to ask what exactly of this product, this service or idea, what exactly are the features that make it stand out and that draw and magnetize people? What are the utilities that it can provide? How are all the different ways in which that can be used in their life? What are the benefits that it provides? What are the advantages it has over anybody else's product? What exactly are the utilities? How can they utilize it? What's unique about it, right? And how is it going to serve somebody? The features, advantages, benefits, utilities, uniquenesses, and services, those six things, I tell people to take the product, service, or idea, whatever they do, and write down 30 answers to those questions. What's unique about this product that is totally unique, that what I'm offering is unique? Because if you can't make that distinction, they're just going to automatically, and you can't explain what that distinction is, they're going to go to the lowest dollar again. So what is unique? What are the features that make it stand out over the competitors? What are the advantages going with you? What exactly is the utility? How all the ways in which it can be used in their life? Lay it out. If you have 30 answers for each of those six different items, features, advantages, benefits, utilities, services, uniquenesses, if you have 30 answers for those, you're more prepared to know how to articulate in their values with your content in sales, marketing, and advertising. So taking the time to do that, and then listen carefully to what the patients and clients' needs are, because whenever you get testimonials and get feedback from them, that gives you insight. I used to get testimonials constantly from speaking engagements, and I noticed there were certain words that showed up most. I literally wrote out every word that I got in a thank you letter or a testimonial or some sort of comment back and a little testimonial. And I wrote every word that was in there, and I just kept records of every word to find out what was the most common words that people were actually saying about my service. And then I would use those words in my communication because obviously that's the one that they feel that they're getting out of it. So I realized that inspiring was one of them. And I feel like that depth of information was one of them. So I took the things that most commonly came back at me and I put it back out, and that helped escalate the growth of the business because now I'm marketing and meeting their needs. I'm looking at what I'm actually doing, not what I think I'm doing, but what I'm actually getting across and what people are actually getting out of the product, service, or idea. But going through there and figuring that out and distilling that down is crucial. And also, because it's a moving market, the market's constantly changing. We're constantly evolving, and people's values are changing as they're maturing. You may have a client that in their 30s and then later. I have some of my students, the longest student I have is 48 years since I was 18. One of the earliest students I have still periodically comes to programs. And I have some, a lot of them, they're in their 30s and 35 years and 30 years. And their values then and where they are today is changing. So they have to constantly keep current with what those values are and look at what they're searching for and asking questions and finding out what their needs are and getting feedback from them to let you know if they're meeting the market's need. If not, we're not meeting the market need, we're out of business. And that's an ongoing game. Then there's something that Walter Haley taught me many years ago in the sales process. He said, start with naturally existing economic relationships. Take the people that you've actually served, get their feedback, look at what you're doing with them, and inspire them to let people know through referral, because the greatest client is the referred client. So if you're not actually internally stimulating referrals from within your own database for what you've built already, that's where most of your effort needs to go. Going out cold calling and going out there, going into the mass market is essential, but right there and making sure you're serving the clients you actually have and getting referrals off that is still where most of the energy, in my opinion, goes. That's where you get the highest quality client. Most of my business is by referral, and most of your business will be by referral. And if you serve the client and meet those needs and care enough about the client, you'll get more referrals. And so you start from internal referrals. Start with what you know. I always say, start with what you know and let what you know grow. Start with the clients that already are satisfied and let the clients refer. They're your best, marketers, if you will. A satisfied client's the best marketer at the same time. But that today with social media, you can go out and hit the social media. That's essential to find out what the people's needs are. And you may filter through a funnel, through all the clicking down through the funnel, all the way back into the program that you're offering or the book or the sales or whatever the product, service, or idea that you're offering. But the referral from the working way in from the referral out is still one of the most powerful way. It's the cleanest, least costly, highest quality client generally. because you're not having to prove anything. They already proved it. They've already got the goods. They already know it. They know what you can do. They tell people what it is, and they're sharing it. If they're not enthused and wanting to share something with somebody, somehow you may want to go back to the drawing board and look at what you're offering them and how you're communicating it and make sure that they're enthused and measure that. Look at how many referrals. I used to have a tree of referrals in my office. It was great when I was in practice many years ago, almost 40 years ago. We used to have a thing. We call them grass people, herb people, bush people, and tree people. A grass person would come in and they would not refer anybody, just be one little sprig of grass. An herb person would refer three or four people, up to five people. A bush would refer up to 10 people. Anything over 10 was called tree people. And we kept records of all the referrals, and we used to ask the clients, have we done something that's not been satisfying to you? Because we noticed that you haven't shared our services with people. Are we doing something that's not meeting your needs? And we just ask them. And then they immediately go, oh. And I would show them I had this massive sheet on the wall of all the names of all the clients. And I was looking at who was referring and who wasn't, and who was the ones that were referring the most and who wasn't. And I was communicating and showing them that and saying, asking them if we had done something that's made them not want to refer. And when they got to see that most people were referring three to five or more people, at least, they would go, oh my God. And then they started thinking of people that they wanted to let people know about, or let the people know about the service. So if you're not concentrating and thinking about that, if you're not concentrating, I also found out that there has to be something novel and new every 3 months in the business, because anything that's the same kind of stagnates and hedonic adaptation takes over. People get adapted to it and they're not inspired as they were. So you constantly have to refine. Now, I don't mean if you have a product that's working like Coca-Cola, you don't have to change it, but you have to add something either in your communication or something that makes it feel novel. Because otherwise the same redundancies don't work. We're living in constant change, as Heraclitus, the philosopher, said. And you're constantly having to update with new people's values. So there has to be something that sparks an attention. So in my seminars, I'm constantly researching and adding new material to it. Every seminar is evolving on a quarterly basis. So as long as there's something that's innovative, creative, or the way you're presenting it is something new and novel, you're enthused still about it, and they become enthused about it. So make a commitment to add some sort of innovation at least every quarter. Even if it's the same seminar or product or service, add something new, present it somehow in something novel, and just schedule that so there's something innovative going on. And make sure that you're finding out what the new needs are. There are new technologies coming out and people automatically demand new technologies, and you may have to give information on new technologies, for instance. But whatever the product, service, or idea, I noticed there's a new company that's a yoga service that my friend was looking up the other day, and it's just going, they're flying off the shelf because obviously people are wanting to get fit, and the whole fitness movement and yoga is going on, and it's just making millions. And they met a need. They had a certain type of look and a certain type of elasticity that allowed them to do yoga without pinching or without being too tight. Somebody thought through. You know, if you care about somebody, you find out what the needs are and you create something that matches those needs. And that's why those things are flying off, because there's a demand for it. And so you're constantly having to keep and get feedback to find out what the new needs are and adapt. And sometimes we're slow at adapting and we pay a price, and sometimes we're ahead of the game, and that's where foresight. In our forebrain, we have foresight, and our hindbrain, we have hindsight. And hindsight is learning through trial and error, and we usually have cataclysmic change that we have to do because we're not thinking of foresight. So you have to care about your humanity and the clients enough to think in advance of what are the changes that are occurring. And that's where innovation and research and is constantly trying to add. What's the newest thing that's coming along? You know, now we've got a new thing in the last few months, Clubhouse, and now there's new speaking opportunities going on there. That wasn't there a few months back, but now it's active. And so there's new ways of going in and exposing new people to new markets. So they constantly have to keep with foresight and look at what people are needing and what people are doing if you want to keep current with it. But also you want to make sure you look at this way. You got fads, you got trends, and you got classics. If you're selling fads, you got to put, you know, a lot of spin on it. You got to make it really exciting for them. But then what happens is a hedonic adaptation takes over and they don't stay inspired by it. Trends have a longer lasting life, shelf life, you might say. Classics are things you could be teaching. In my case, I teach classics. So I can teach a program, and with small tweakings on a regular basis, I can keep it and keep it current. But if you're doing a technology, some technologies are going to be changing rapidly. And so you got to look at where you're going to. You're going to the mass market with a fad. You're going to a trend a mid-market? Are you going to a classical advanced market? You know, if you're going out there and you're selling a widget that's a fast, immediate gratifying kind of thing, well, then you may have a fast market. It may rise and fall and you're out and it's no longer useful. It's like a pet rock that came out in the 80s. But now, if you're doing something that's a classic, you have something you can just keep refining and keep tweaking, and little innovations at a time, tweaks, refinement, instead of cataclysmic change. In change management, when we're doing something that's inspiring to us and we're meeting our highest values and we're meeting other people's values, we just keep tweaking, keep refining, little changes, as Jim Collins says. But if we're not fulfilled and the customer's not fulfilled, we'll need cataclysmic change to radically now meet that need. And I think it's much wiser and more cost-effective to do tweakings and getting everybody engaged. That's why you want to make sure that when you hire people, that people are inspired by what they're doing and you're inspired by what you're doing. In my situation as a speaker, if I can't wait to get up in the morning and speak and share my message, I end up literally magnetizing opportunities. I don't know how to describe it. I call it the cosmic AT&T system in America. But what happens is I'm really enthused. If I read something that I'm really inspired about and I can't wait to share that, it seems like there's people that can't wait to get it. It's almost like this quantum field of entanglement that goes on between myself and the audience. That the more enthused I am, the more inspired I am to deliver something, the more people want it. And so I think that that's why you want to make sure you're finding something that is inspiring to you and find something that actually has a demand. If you do, you're on your way to do it. And whatever you do, whatever you earn in your fair exchanges, make sure you take a portion of it, you save it. If you're not taking a portion and sticking it into savings and building up a cushion of reserve that handles the volatilities of the business, that actually stabilizes the volatilities of the business, and then putting money into assets that actually go up in value, investments that actually go up in value. So every single day that your investments are growing, you're gradually working towards a situation where you're not having to work, you're working because you love to. You know, I'm at a position now with my finances where I don't have to work, I work because I love to. And to me, that's the purpose of financial independence, not because you want to go and have a debaucherous life and just go play, but because you get to do what you love because you don't have to. And that is huge. And people can sense the difference when you're delivering, when you're not having to do it. It's not a desperate thing. It's an inspiring thing. So you want to make sure no matter how much you earn, don't wait until you think you've got an abundance. The law of entropy automatically takes over a business and erodes profits if you don't take them off the top. I learned that 39 almost years ago. Automatically take a portion of whatever you earn and stick it into investments, savings and investments first before you do anything. And what happens, the wealthy have always paid themselves first, because when you do, you receive more money to manage. If you pay yourself last, you'll always have unexpected bills erode it and you never seem to get ahead, and you're working and you'll eventually burn out because you're working so hard and you're not getting anything in return for it. Make sure you take a portion of it and invest it. I started doing that, and the more I did that and the more I increased that, the more my business grew up. And that gave me a pathway to financial independence, doing what I love to do, and gave me more certainty, and I didn't have desperation. I had less volatility, and I've had steadiness for 39 years. So I'm a very firm believer that that's a sign that you're actually valuing yourself. And until you value yourself, don't expect other people to. And when you're doing that and you're not under desperation, you're more creative because you're not putting out fires. You're creative. You're in your innovative mind. Whenever you're pursuing challenges that inspire you, you activate your innovative mind. Whenever you're doing challenges that you don't want, which is desperation, you shut down the creative mind and you're just putting out fires and you're doing redundant activities and you're looking for an escape and you want it to be easy. It's not the answer. The answer is finding something that you can't wait to get up in the morning and do, a problem that you want to solve in the world, a need out there that you love filling, that you want to get specialized knowledge on and you want to gain an expertise on and be the greatest at doing that, the one thing that you're inspired by most that meets the most needs in the niche that you're targeting. And in the process of doing that every single day, just keep innovating and working towards that and become the greatest at what that is. You want to ask yourself, what is it I want to be the greatest at? What is the one thing that I want to stand out as? Mine's human behavior. But whatever that is, you want to make sure that you're targeting that and focusing on that and giving yourself permission to go and master that. You want to master your business, master your life. And investing in yourself is one of the keys to doing it. Investing your knowledge, prioritize what you read, prioritize who you hang out with, prioritize your clients, prioritize where your money's going, prioritize who you're hanging out with, prioritize your daily actions. The people that live by highest priority are the ones that get ahead. and the people that keep putting out fires and letting the world around them, you're going to be bombarded by people trying to take up your time and give you advice. But remember, the advice that goes around, circulates the most, usually has the least value. Make sure that you prioritize what it is that you learn. If you're mentoring, prioritize what you're mentoring. You know, if you're going to go and find something, if you have somebody that knows something, learn from them. Don't try to be them. Don't envy them and imitate them, but learn from them and incorporate that into your own structure. Because otherwise you're going to be some second at being somebody else instead of first being you. But incorporate that and learn from that. Anyway, I just wanted to go over some of those tips that can help you in a small business. I believe you're a leader if you do. If you prioritize your life, you'll wake up your leadership. And a leader is somebody who's inspired by a clear message. They know what they're here to serve. They've got specialized knowledge in it. They learn how to speak up and share the message in a way that articulates in front of other people. They can sell that because they know how to meet the people's needs with a language. And then they save a portion of their money and make sure that their money's working for them. Because that way you just draw more business to it. The more I've saved, the more business has come to me. The more I've invested, the more business comes. So those are some tips that'll help you in building your business. One other gift that I want to do, if you want to grow your business astronomically, because if you don't have a vision that's astronomical, don't expect a global business. And by the way, the worst client you have is yourself. The second worst client you have is your own family members or spouse. The third most craziest clients are the friends. But the farther they are in space and time, the more powerful the client. So if you don't have an astronomical vision, don't expect to have a global business and don't expect to get the most inspiring clients. So I have a special gift for you. It's called Accessing Your Astronomical Vision. I did a presentation in Johannesburg in the planetarium to a series of small business owners and mid-business owners in YPO Group. And I'm absolutely certain that if you listen to this, most people will listen to it 5 or 6 times. If you listen to it over and over again, it will definitely catalyze you with more enthusiasm, some ideas on how to scale up your business and how to see a bigger vision. Because you're not going to outgrow your vision. I know in my practice years ago, I had clocks from all over the world. I had maps around the world. I intended to have a global business. And I got a global business because I intended it. Your innermost dominant thought will become your outermost tangible reality. So if you want to take command of your thought and the vision and make it astronomical to make a global impact with today's technology, it's absolutely insane not to. Take advantage of this gift, $50 value. I promise you're going to enjoy listening to it.
Well, this was just a small sample of what Dr. DeMartini has to share. If you'd love to continue learning from Dr. DeMartini, then please click the subscribe button so that you're notified when we add the next episode. If you'd love to find out more about Dr. DeMartini and his work, then please log on to our website, drdemartini.com, and use the online chat function to talk to a member of our DeMartini team. We'd really love to get to know you and to understand what you're wanting to achieve so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to achieve your goals and dreams. We'd also love to invite you to join us in the DeMartini Stay Inspired Facebook group, which you can access by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. Our goal in the community is to help you to clarify your vision, stay focused and inspired, and take the appropriate actions to empower all 7 areas of your life. So join us by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. DeMartini shortly. Until next time, stay focused, stay inspired.